hope you enjoy this message from Eastside C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
All right, now, hey, this morning I just want to preach a message that similar to that I preached at the night service a few weeks ago called Give It A Go. And but I really felt in my heart that to kind of, you know, preach this again. And so it's not the same, but it's just called Give It A Go. Everybody say Give It A Go. Give it a go is a real Kiwiism, right? And we're known for kind of people that give it a go, whether it's, you know, we punch way above our weight, whether it's climbing Mount Everest or whether it's winning World Cups, Rugby World Cups. That's a prophecy right there. You know it's coming up, don't you? Starts in a couple of weeks. So if you did not know that, I think you should revoke your citizenship. Come on, All Blacks all the way. That's right, Chris. Give it a go. Okay, so here's the thing. When we first come to Jesus, when we first encounter him, it's all about us coming to him, right? We come to him. First, please, Helen, my emphasis in yellow, of course. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you a hard life, a suffering life, a difficult life." Is that what that says? Oh, must be some other version. No, then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and what? I'll give you rest." So when you come to Jesus, it's all about us coming to him. How do we come to him? Well, we pray a simple prayer. And we ask Jesus to come into our life and forgive us. Now, the amazing thing is when we open up to that possibility, he actually does that. And the Spirit of God then comes to live on the inside of you. The Bible calls us being born again. And it's all about us coming to him. And then we begin this amazing journey with him, and we begin to discover all the amazing things that he has for us and all the promises in the Word of God and the destiny that he has. And it's pretty awesome. That's all about us coming to him. And that's fantastic. But you know, it's not all about us. It's not all about you and it's not all about me, right? Because at some point, that come has got to change into a go. Into a go. Everybody say go. Go say give it a go. Give it a go. Give it a go. Okay, so it changes into a go because, like I said, God loves you, loves me, but it's not about us. At some point, we've got to lift up our eyes from our own deal and begin to see a world that really needs him, right? Awesome. And so God wants to use you and I to actually go and influence this world. Wow. So, yeah, I'm preaching to a good crowd this morning. Okay, so. Yeah, but this is no joke. So God has a plan to actually redeem this world, right? Jesus tells all these parables. He talks about a lost coin, a lost sheep, a lost son. And so it's about him wanting to redeem this world that is lost. And so it's about us coming to him, but then at some point getting a revelation that we need to go and go and do that. So here's the Great Commission, Mark 16, verse 15. Then he told them, and he's telling those disciples back then, but he's telling you and I today, go, everybody say go, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. So you know, what does that mean? Does that mean jump on a plane and just fly around the world and Bible bash everybody you meet, whether they want to hear it or not? For some people, maybe, not the Bible bash bit. But I think it's this. It's as you go every day into your world, there are people there that don't know the Lord, don't know Jesus. And he says we're to go and we're to preach to them, bring good news to them. Now, I love this verse. Look at this, Luke 8, verse 40. It was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him. Now, my emphasis added here, for they were all waiting for him. Right. Everybody's waiting for Jesus. They just don't know it yet. I was one of those people. Everybody's waiting for Jesus. They just don't know that, and they don't know what it is. And J.B. Phillips, the famous Bible translator, said this. He said, there's a God-shaped place in every one of us that only he can fill. Right? And people are out there like I was. I was one of those people trying to fill that hole with all kinds of garbage. And that's why the world out there is doing all what they do. They're trying to fill that thing, but only God can fill that. I was one of those people. I didn't really know. I was waiting for Jesus, but I really didn't know what I was waiting for. And as a young guy searching, I walked into a Connect group meeting in Forfar Street. And as I've said before, it was like a hippie Connect group. And they had guitars and sandals. And I come out of a different scene, though. And so I thought this was all very weird. And they're singing Kumbaya and sitting on cushions and all of that. But what happened to me was I sat in that meeting and it was all weird to me. They were lifting their hands and clapping. I thought, flipping weirdos. And so, but there was something in that room. There was an atmosphere in that room. There was something in there. I didn't know what it was, but now I know it was the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so I through that experience, asked the Lord into my life, and everything changed. And so everybody's waiting for Jesus. They just don't know it yet. And you and I need to have our radar up every day. Because here's the thing. We all got our own deal. We got our own problems. We got our own stuff going on. But listen, when you look to help somebody else, when you look to be a blessing to somebody else, when you look to take Jesus to somebody else, when you actually sow, you reap something back from God. And when you begin to take care of his deal, his vision, his house, his call, he begins to take care of yours. It's amazing how that works. And so as we begin to lift up our eyes and see the deal is, I got to go. I got to go, and I got to go and do something in this life. Okay, so the devil tries to convince us that people aren't interested, they don't care, but really, they do. And so the whole deal is to try and shut you down from doing that. Now, we've got kind of two types of people in the body of Christ, I guess. You've got these people all the way over here, and they never say anything, never tell anybody anything. The devil's convinced them, just keep your religion all to yourself, you know, don't you ever tell anybody anything. So they say nothing. Then all the way on the other side of the ditch, you got all these Bible-bashing nuts that think they have to tell everybody they meet, whether they want to hear it or not, and sometimes do the gospel a discredit, standing on street corners shouting at people, they're going to hell and all that garbage. You got that extreme, right? Two extremes that are ridiculous. Right here in the middle, you know? Yeah, here we go. We have this, where God wants us to go, but he wants us to relate this to this world, to love this world, and be relatable to people. Okay, so Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one puts a lamp... lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everybody in the house. The devil wants you to put your light in a basket over here. Don't do anything. And here's the thing. I mean, you know, if you got Jesus living inside of you, the Bible says that we have treasure in earthen vessels. So you got Jesus inside of you. And he's shining. And you shine. When you go out into this world and you're just the very nature fact that he is in you, you shine. I know because I see you sometimes. I see you out in places. And you don't see me, but I see, and you're shining. We have a look about us that's different. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and you shine, and people are drawn to that light. It's very compelling, very magnetic. You are drawn to it. I was as a young guy. Doing all the garbage I was doing, I began to meet Christians, and they didn't ram the Bible down my throat. They were just friendly to me, and I was drawn to that light. Because there's something in us, we shine. And as you just go and do your deal day by day, you're shining. And then Peter comes along, and he says this. He says, listen, you be ready now. Be ready when people ask you. Be ready to give an account when people ask you what's the reason for the hope that's in you. Because somewhere, someday, somebody's going to ask you, what's the deal with you, man? You don't go and do the stuff we do or whatever. And oh, they're just going to say, and you say, oh, well, you know, actually, I got some Christian beliefs or whatever you want to say. They go, I knew there was something different about you. You know, listen, people are going to ask you for sure because you got light in you. You can't help it. It's the fact that Jesus is in there, you're going to shine. And so it's just about us going into the world and having our radar up that there are people every day that are going to do that. Now, the fact that Peter says, be ready to give an account when people ask you, so you know, you've got to be ready to say, well, this is my story, and package it well. And don't be one of those people that, you know, when we're talking to people, trying to win them, don't be one of those people. Be interested in other people. Forget about your deal. And listen, don't be one of those people that while you're talking to them, they're there going, yeah. They're not listening to a word you're saying. They're just thinking what they're going to say next. You're telling a story, they're thinking of a better story. Don't be that. Don't be one of those people. Listen to people. Look them in the eye. Hear their story. You will win them. Forget about your deal. Forget about your deal. And so it's about that. And people feel that love. They feel that connection. Amazing. And, you know, I don't know about you, but people have got... Are we going okay? Are we going? Yeah. People have got weird ideas about God. Have you found that to be true? Weird ideas. He's a rock, he's a tree, he's a higher power, you know, weird. And we, the church, have the true revelation of who God is because we have the Bible, the scriptures. And it's really interesting because, and so we and people say, you know, what's God like then? I love it when they ask that. What's God like? Is he a rock? Is he a tree? Is he a higher power? And I love it. I love it when they ask me that because the Bible's really clear. Hebrews chapter 1 says this, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who's appointed all things, through whom also he made the worlds, look at this, and being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person. What's God like? He's exactly like Jesus. Jesus is God on planet Earth doing God stuff. And so you say, what's God like? You know, does he send fire and earthquakes and all this kind of stuff? No, he's exactly like Jesus. What did Jesus do when he was on planet Earth? I'll tell you what he didn't do. Never once did he kill a person. Never once did he tell a person to stay sick. Never once did he do anything like that. What did he do? He blessed people, healed them, restored their lives, delivered them from all kinds of demonic torment. That's God. That's who he is. He's Jesus. It's awesome. And so the devil would much rather, and that's why when Jesus comes along, John 6, 7, and 8, he starts saying things like this. I only do the things that I see the Father do. I only say the things I hear the Father say. And of course, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, this throws them into an absolute rage because nowhere before that in the Old Testament was God ever referred to as the Father. And that's the revelation that Jesus brought, that God is our Father, that he loves us. The Pharisees didn't, they didn't, that's why they tried to kill him, because for them that's blasphemy. And the devil would much rather, you know, have God painted as a harsh, condemning judge than a loving Father. But Jesus came to reveal to us exactly what God is like. So people ask you, what's God like? He's exactly like Jesus. Amazing. Wow. I love this. Pastor Brian Houston, Hillsong Church. He said this, if God wanted to condemn the world, he would have sent a condemner. But God wanted to save the world, so he sent a Savior. I'm going to say that again. If God had condemned the world, he would have sent a condemner, but God wanted to save the world, so he sent a Savior. At one time, the disciples, you know, they're going through this area in Samaria, And the Samaritans say, you can't go through here. And so the disciples say, come on, let's kill them. Let's call fire down from heaven and consume them. They must have, I won't say that. Let's call fire down and consume them. And because that's what Elijah did. And Jesus, he rebukes them. He gets really tough with them. Tells them off big time. He says, no, you don't know what spirit you're of. But the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to actually save them. Save them. And so as we reach out to a world, our message, gospel means good news, isn't that you're going to hell, you filthy sinner, but it's that God loves you, gave his life for you, and you can find forgiveness and peace through him. To really be honest with you, someone shouting at me on a street corner before I was a Christian that I'm going to hell, I'd probably punch him in the throat. Serious. Who wants to be told that? And the Bible says it's the love of God, the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. So, yeah, come on. So God's plan for people is good. Not to harm them, but to forgive them, to bless them, to heal them, to set them free. Wow. Okay, so everybody say go. Say, give it a go. Give it a go. Give it a go. So, here's the thing. If you've been sitting for a while and you're like, oh, I haven't really been, you know, doing much. Come on, let's stir ourselves. Let's give it a go. Let's step out. Let's believe God in the morning. Hey, there could be somebody today that I could talk to. There could be somebody today that I could influence. There could be somebody today that I could actually lead to the Lord. And so, just be open for that and give it a go. It's amazing when you say to the Lord, use me to reach people today and be prepared to give it a go. It's amazing how much he will. It's incredible. And so here's the thing. We've got house party coming up next week. Wouldn't it be awesome if this week we could really give it a go, reach out to a neighbor, reach out to a non-Christian worker, co-worker, whatever, reach out to somebody, step out of the boat, have a go, give it a go. It's scary. Makes you a little bit nervous, but why don't you give it a go? Now, the way you do that, it's very simple. Jesus says this, let's get this up. And then he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. I don't know why I've got that in there again, but yeah, next please. And then Jesus said to them, follow me and I will what make you fishers of men. So he gives this analogy of fishing for people. So what do you do when you go fishing? You put a bit of bait on the hook and you throw it out. And that's the best thing to do. Throw a bit of bait out there. You know, in just normal conversation. What are you doing this weekend? Ah, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. No, I would. Well, what are you doing? Nah, you wouldn't believe me. Yeah, you tell me. Oh, I'm actually going to church. Church, what? Throw a bit of bait out. See if you get a nibble. If you don't get a nibble, don't worry about it. But we're to fish for people. So it's amazing how people are really interested, especially if you don't be overboard trying to do your deal on them, but you just throw out a bit of bait, let them nibble. It's amazing. It's amazing how often that happens. And just letting your light shine, doing your thing. Give it a go. Awesome. So just, yeah, throw out a bit of bait. We're actually going to do, between now, not next Tuesday, but the following, between the two foundations courses, we're just going to do a little one-hour session on Tuesday night in the cafe, just as our Tuesday night we do foundations and courses. Just going to do a little course on, you know, how to lead someone to the Lord, how to share our faith, do a little bit more in-depth than what we're doing here. And just so if you want to do that, please, you know, come and talk to me. And if that's something you might be interested in, just give me a little wave right now. We have 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, cool. Okay. So yeah, and then we'll just go into this a bit more and just equip you a little bit more how to do this. And once you're equipped, you have confidence. But We want to do that. So, but this week we've got house party. Now, when you go and put your things in the letterbox, you know the little house party flyers. Don't just chuck them in there. Pray over them. Pray over the whole stack. Believe that the presence of God, the anointing, is upon everything. That when people touch it, you know they're gonna. There's just believe that. Pray over them before you put them in there. And let's sow some seeds. And house party is our deal where we throw the net. And last time we got a lot of people born again. It's awesome. But they can't get born again unless we go. And Jesus says this. He says, I want you to go out and compel them to come into my house. Compel them to come into my house. Because in this house, I mean, and we can do things on our own. That's great. But when we're together corporately like this, in this house, they come in. You know what they're going to find? They're going to find Jesus. They're going to find the love of God. They're going to find freedom and health and redemption from all that garbage. They're going to find all of that. Compel them to come in. And so, you know, we can pray all we want to in a prayer meeting for the lost to come in. But that's not enough. We have to actually go and invite them. Go and compel them. Just invite them to come and let God do his thing. Let God do his thing. So if you can get him in the house next week, and I reckon if we could, all of us, just make the effort to invite one person, man, this place would be packed. And we will do, as I continue to say, I know we're getting a reputation for being super friendly. And when I say we, I'm talking about all of us. You know, if you're nervous about bringing a friend, don't be, because we will look after them. They get a free food and all the rest of it. It's just a side note, Sydney, I know you're from Hawaii, and a lot of the Hawaiian words are like Māori words. So the word for kai here is food, but I think in Hawaiian it means ocean. Kai. Yeah. Interesting. So I don't know why I said that, but... Maybe it means something to someone. Ben, would you join me, please? Awesome. That wasn't a joke. That was... Okay, so... We're going to, in a moment, open up the altar and just pray for people. But this morning, you know, really, I'd love to pray for people. That what happened was we pray for people, but what happened was that the disciples back in the day were this nervous bunch of guys, afraid of everything, hiding in an upper room. And what is the power of the Holy Spirit came and filled them. And after that experience, they become the boldest people on planet Earth. Now, listen, you need boldness to go and do this, not your own strength, but you need a supernatural boldness, because there is a spirit of intimidation in the atmosphere in this world that says, you shut up, you don't tell anybody about Jesus, you quieten down. And you need a supernatural boldness to be able to go about doing that. And so in a moment, we're going to, as we sing this last song, I'm just going to, would love to invite people this morning to come. And we want to pray for you and just believe that you'll be filled with a supernatural boldness from heaven that you didn't have before to go and do what God's called you to do, and give you a boldness to be able to talk about him in situations where you would normally be intimidated. Awesome.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.